I hope that you've taken it seriously, what the Lord had spoke on my heart, whether you adopted it or not, still pertinent to your life. A year to draw near, 2017. And I hope you've been taking that seriously, that you understand that you have a Father who has such a compassion and a capacity to love and be kind, and He wants to spend time with His creation. Amen?
Amen.
So I hope you've been just worshiping Him and loving on Him and talking with Him throughout your day and letting Him know how wonderful He is, how special He is. You know, I love it when my children come up to me out of nowhere and tell me they love me, or, you know, Dad, I'm glad you're my dad, or something like that. It's just so special. And so how much more would the Lord love that, right? Amen. Father, we're so thankful and so grateful for Your word tonight. Lord, we are so honored and so blessed to be here. Just so thankful that You left us a GPS. You left us a roadmap to blessings. Father, we could just be down here wandering until we get to heaven, but no, You put directions on how to receive heaven on earth, how to walk into the abundant life. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the GPS tonight. Now, Father, there's many things we could share. There's many things in the Bible that we could say, but, Father, there's certain times that certain things need to be said. And so, Lord, I thank You. I've done my part, Father, the best that I know how to hear from You, and I'm asking You now that You take this service over, Father, that You speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Spirit. Father, we're looking for the oracles of God, not enticing words of man's wisdom. So, Father, I thank You that words of life and the right words in season are ministered through me tonight. And Father, You'll get the glory for it. I'm just the messenger. Father, You're the chef. You prepare the meal for us. So we give You the praise and glory. But Father, we thank You. Our lives are going to be changed. They're going to have an opportunity to go on a different course tonight, an opportunity to go on to a different avenue, an avenue that will lead us straight to the street of abundant life. So, Father, we thank You. We reverence the Word. We are excited. We come expecting in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're not ready after all this, I don't know what more to do. Praise God. Right. Just get you stirred up and let you know God loves you. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, according as His divine power hath, that word hath, for you word people, English people, that's past tense, isn't it? That's not present, that's not future, that's past tense. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things, praise God, all things, now notice this, that pertain unto just godliness. No, a lot of times people think that it's just about the spiritual blessings, but He says in His word that He's given us all things that pertain unto life. Life is this natural realm, and godliness, which is the spiritual realm. Hallelujah, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So the Bible said God has already laid out a spread for us. And what it includes is all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, what is all things that pertain to life and godliness? Your mortgage payment, the vehicle you drive, the food you put in your body, the clothes you wear on your back, my goodness, the job that you need, the protection and the supply for your family. All things have been provided unto us. Hallelujah. We know that the Bible says in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, that through faith we receive His promises. So all this is made available to us through faith. So God says, this verse is a sign of how merciful He is, that He has provided everything that we could ever need here on the earth. It's just a matter of accessing it and walking into those things. And I'll go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Actually, it's just right up the page on my Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse, let's go to verse 8. So God says, on this world, I've already given you everything, you know. Everything that you could need. You know, He's good and faithful. He doesn't miss it. You know, He didn't forget about your mortgage. He didn't forget about your car. He didn't forget about the health that you need, the healing that you need. He didn't forget about the wisdom or the answers that you need. He's already provided it all. Why? He's so many steps ahead of us. He's been to our future and back. He knows what we need. He's already got a supply for us. He's a good Father. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. So the Bible says we do have an adversary here on the earth, and his name is the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the Bible says that God has provided us all things on the earth that pertain to what we need for life, But the issue comes into play is that there's a nasty devil attempting to keep us out of all that God has for us. He would love to stand in your way. He would love to cause trouble and cause you problems. Why? The more blessed that you are as a Christian, the greater and brighter your light will shine for God. The more blessed you are, the bigger shining billboard you'll be for Jesus. We need to be people that stand out amongst the world. We need to be people that when things go south and things go sour, we have a smile on our face because we have the answer. We need to be the people that are constantly walking through tests and trials, coming out on the other side, not beaten, battered, and torn, but victorious and stronger and better than ever. And see, if we do that, people are going to say, what do you have? Yes. What is it about your life? And you can say, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of what God has done for me. You know, you say, I don't know. I'm telling you, I've been a light in a dark place at jobs and different things. You know, don't react the way other people react. When trials and tests come, have a good attitude, speak faith, and it's drawn people. Because I'll tell you what, the world is hurting, and they want some kind of an answer like that. Amen. And so that's why the devil will stand in our way of abundant life. And so we have a devil, the adversary, who comes to stop us from receiving all those things that God has given us that pertain to life and godliness. Now go with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 16, just kind of laying some groundwork here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Now remember, I told you already, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, that all the promises of God are received through faith and patience, so you can't get to the all things on the earth without faith. So Ephesians 6 and verse 16, now remember, he's given it to us, but there's a devil trying to keep us out. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now notice what the shield of faith's job is. Notice what the job description of the shield of faith is. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Praise God. Well, what are the fiery darts of the wicked one? Physical tests and trials, right? Financial tests and trials. Tries to stir things up, give you wrong thoughts, pit people against you, you know? Influence people to work against you. Influence people to cause your money not to become. Those are fiery darts of the wicked one, right? Putting traps and setting up hindrances. Paul said this, he said, a great door of opportunity is open unto me, but there stands many adversaries. So Paul's saying, I want to get into these things. There's great door of opportunity for advancement, for blessing, to go higher in the things of God, but there's an enemy standing there. Well, the Bible says that the shield of faith, when it is in play in a Christian's life, will quench every fiery dart, every attack, every financial attack can be stopped by faith. Every physical attack. He did say all, didn't he? Anything the devil would bring your way. The Bible says faith is your answer when the shield is raised. The shield is a supernatural protector. Amen. And I love what 1 John, we don't need to turn there, but 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Well, who's in the world causing us trouble? Our adversary. He's not going to be there in heaven. He's going to be suffering, amen? You ought to tell him about that sometime. Remind him, when he's talking to you, you ought to remind him about his future. He don't like that very much. But he's going to be suffering. We're going to be in heaven. We won't need the shield of faith up there. There won't be an adversary to use it against. There won't be an adversary that we got to quench his fiery darts. He's talking about it down here on the earth. The shield of faith will quench them, and this is the victory that overcomes anything in this world, even our faith. Praise God. You know, I used to play video games when I was younger, you know, maybe some war games or battle games or something. You know, you could get extra, sometimes you got extra powers for things, and one of the best things that you'd ever could get was when you'd have a shield, and they'd give you a certain time frame where you could just go through the game, and no matter what they're shooting at you, it bounces off you, right? No matter what they put in your way, you can just run right through that thing. You don't have to worry of jumping over the creepy crawlies on the video game. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting shot. You just go as fast as you can to try to get through that course. Well, that's what the shield of faith is. The shield of faith, when it's taken through life, just quenches all those fiery darts of the wicked one. But the problem is when the Christian drops the shield of faith, because notice God says, I'm not going to hold the shield of faith up for you. He said, I'm going to give you the shield of faith, but it's your job to put on that armor. Amen. He said, put on, in verses before, he said, you put on the whole armor of God. What's he saying? You grab that shield and you walk through life with it. You take it to your jobs. You take it for your family. You take it for your finances. You take it for your bodies. He says, it's up to you. And when that shield of faith is left down or not brought up and raised, just like in that video game, you're susceptible, right? You can get taken out by the enemy. You can get hit. You can get hurt and have some of your life go down, or have, you know, some destruction in your life financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, with your children. And so we don't want that shield of faith to go down, do we? Amen. Amen. So go with me to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to help you tonight. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. As I was waiting on God this afternoon, this is what he dropped into my spirit. So we're going to obey him and we'll be better for it. Amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. So we've laid the groundwork, haven't we? That we've been given all things. That we have the opportunity to walk into everything we need. And that it comes through faith. And that the only thing that can stop us from using that faith and using faith to get victorious is if we don't have the shield up. So we're going to keep the shield up. Mark 4 and verse 35, he said, the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and Jesus was in the hinder, or the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What they're saying is, Lord, we're dying, you're sleeping through this, don't you care? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. The wind ceased, there was a great calm. Now notice what he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Or you can say it this way, why are you anxious? Why are you worried, right? That's what Jesus is asking them. Now notice, this is the kicker of it. How is it that you have no faith? Well, remember, the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. And now Jesus is saying that with the presence of worry or fear or anxiety is the absence of the shield of faith. The very thing that you need to carry into your financial trials, the very thing you need to carry into your physical trials, into your jobs and into different things. He says, if you're in a state of worry, you've dropped that shield. You've made yourself susceptible or open to the enemy's attacks. Why? It's the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts. So Jesus said, why is it that you have no faith? Now here's what I want you to see. Is they said to Jesus, Lord, don't you care? Aren't you concerned? They thought that he was the abnormal one. They thought that he was the crazy one because he wasn't in a state of worry. But Jesus wasn't the crazy one. Jesus was the smart one. Why? He knew that if I drop that shield of faith, the enemy has entrance and inroad into my life. And he's basically saying to them, why do you want to be open to attacks? When somebody worries, they might not necessarily say it, but their actions, and by the word, they're saying, I want to be open to attacks of the devil. That's what worry does. Worry drives faith. Worry quenches and pushes that shield and keeps that shield down and leaves you open to attack. We don't want that because worry is a faith killer. When you don't have faith, you don't receive what God has for you. And we said that the faith is what you can receive everything from God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
We're so thankful. Go to Mark chapter 5. So we're going to touch on something tonight that usually gets up under people's, you know, sticks right in their craw, you know, and just in a good way, not an offensive way or stepping on your toes way, but man, I'll tell you what, it is more normal in the world to be worried and anxious and fretful than to be somebody that just doesn't have a care at all. And that's why you can see why so few people walk into the blessings that God has for them. It's available to everybody. But worry and fretting, it's so common in families. It's so common in people's lives. It's almost like I've had people accuse me of being uncompassionate or being somebody that's not sympathetic. Because when something goes wrong, I'm not scattering all over the place. I'm not wringing my hands or my have my hands in my hair. What am I going to do? Or pacing the floor. No, I just know that if I get into that realm, my shields, I'm leaving my shield at home. And listen, if something's attempting to cause you to worry, it's evident that you're probably going to need that shield of faith to get through that thing.
Yeah.
Faith is going to be your victory to get past it. So worry's the wrong answer. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. He said, and behold, Mark 5:22. He said, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and that she may live. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So he's on the way to Jairus' house to minister to his little girl. Verse 25 then says, and certain woman which had an issue of blood. So on the way to Jairus' house came the woman with the issue of blood. And we're going to skip this account because the next account has nothing to do with Jairus. It just talks about on the way to Jairus' house, Jesus ministered to another woman. So drop down to verse 35. While he yet spake, now the verse before tells us what he was speaking. The verse before, he said, daughter, thy faith, he spoke it to the woman with the issue of blood. He said, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be ye healed of thy plague. Now, in verse 35, he said, while he yet spake, while Jesus was saying to the woman of the issue of blood, daughter, thy faith has made you whole, people came unto him, the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master any further. Now look at, now what would that do to a parent who at one stage in this game and early on, he's thinking, wow, I got Jesus' attention. I've heard great things from this man. I just saw him miraculously be a part of a woman's healing. And now they come with a report that says, my daughter's dead. That would strike fear in you. That would strike anxiety in you. That would strike worry from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. But this is what I want you to see, and we can learn something about the danger of worry by the response of our Savior. He says in verse 36, as soon, notice this, as soon as Jesus heard the word, what was the word? Your daughter's dead. What did that word have the potential to do? Strike fear, strike anxiety, strike worry. Jesus knows to get this little girl healed, it's going to come through faith. And if we show up at this house with no faith, we're not going to receive the promises of God because that's how it works. And so he knows how it works. He says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, or don't worry, or don't be anxious, but believe, or have faith only. He's saying, don't allow yourself to go or to step into that place no matter what. He's saying that is the wrong response. That is the wrong response. I had a gentleman one time call me up, answered the phone. I could hear it in his voice. He said, Pastor Mike, I found out they cut my pension. It ended up being where it was something that wasn't the truth, that it was some mix-up in paperwork when he filed. But they cut my pension. They're not going to send me my pension, my month, once a month check that's helping me to live and everything. And he said, I am so worried. I said, brother, you're going down the wrong road. We can't do anything with that kind of talk. And I said, we need to get you into faith. Just like Jesus said to the ruler, to Jairus, he said, don't get into that. You know, it's kind of like this. If you've been somewhere before and you're going home and there's certain routes you can take to your home, why would you constantly take the wrong turn and go down the dead end street when you know it's the wrong way? You go down that street and there's nowhere to go and you got to turn around. Why do people continually choose the path of worry, fear, and anxiety? They're just saying, devil, I'm open to attack. Devil, I'm putting my shield down. Jesus is saying to Jairus, don't worry. That's the wrong response. Don't get into worry. Hallelujah. Jesus was saying to him, if we're going to deal with this problem, the first thing we have to deal with is your worry. the first thing we have to deal with is to make sure that you're on a platform of faith, not a platform of worry. Amen? Amen. I love this. It's worth reading down through here in verse 37. And he suffered or allowed no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Verse 38, he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. There's a lot of worry. There was a lot of anxiety and fear going on here. And when he was coming, and again, we don't even fault those people. They saw a young girl that they thought was dead and gone, and they didn't know. But Jesus said, listen, doesn't matter that you don't know. We can't have you around. It said, when he was coming, he said to them, why do you make this ado and weep? This damsel's not dead and asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, notice what he did. He removed all doubt. He removed all fear. He removed all anxiety. He removed all worry. Why? Worry, anxiety, and fear, the presence of those is the absence of faith. The absence of faith is the absence of you receiving what God has for you. And so he put them out, and put them all out. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entering in where the damsel was lying. Now, if Jesus could just do this on his own, why would he need the mother and the father and risk the fact that they might be doubters? Jesus wouldn't have dealt with the guy's doubt. If the guy's doubt didn't matter concerning his life, Jesus would have just gone in and done it. But remember the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus said, I didn't heal you. Your faith did. Remember blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10? He said, I didn't heal you. Your faith got you whole. Remember the woman whose daughter was grievously vexed to the devil in Matthew chapter 15? He said, I didn't do this for your daughter. Your faith did this. What's he say in Mark 9:23? He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So Jesus, when dealing with this gentleman and this woman's daughter and their life and the things that they're associated with, he needed them. That's why he dealt with them. He's like, listen, on the road there, he's like, I can't do this alone. I need your faith to be there, so stop trying to hinder me. You see, that's what people are doing. They're hindering God. They're hindering and handcuffing God when they get into worry. God is always, remember what 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says? All the promises of God are yes and amen. He says, I've already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's saying, my answer is yes. I want it for you. But when people get into doubt, worry, and anxiety, and they move faith out of the way, what is faith? Faith is the vehicle that brings your promise to your life. And when there's no vehicle, there's no promise that comes there. And that's what people do. And Jesus was telling them on the way, he said, don't hinder me from helping you. That's right. And so I'd say to you, ladies and gentlemen, stop hindering God from helping you because of your worry. Yeah. Because of your anxiety. My God, we could preach on this a lot of times in a year, and it wouldn't be enough. So if we're going to deal with whatever you're facing, what's the answer to what you're facing? Faith is what the answer to what you're facing is. But it cannot be founded on a platform of worry because faith will be non-existent. Go to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Praise the Lord. You got me so fired up, I feel like a cotton mouth up here. I'm going to hydrate real fast. Hallelujah. Praise God. Actually, I think it is 2 Corinthians 13, 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. And if it's not there, I have no idea where it is. And we'll just read it. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves. So guess what we're going to do here in a second? We're going to have a self-examination. What are we going to examine for? Whether you be in faith. Now remember, faith is fully persuaded. Faith is staggered not. Fully persuaded, waver not, right? Faith says, I have it. Faith says, I don't care that I can't see it. Faith says, I don't care what it looks like. I know it's mine. That's faith. So he says, examine yourselves whether you be in faith. So what we're going to do in a second here, I'm just going to take a second to get quiet. And I want you to think about your own life and the things that you need. Maybe it's a vehicle. Maybe it's a home. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's health in your body. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. And I want you to examine yourselves. And I want you to thoroughly go over to yourself with the magnifying glass and find out, am I in faith concerning these things? Because that's the only thing that's going to turn it. you know, if it would just come from you getting being pretty or handsome and a good smile, my God, this church, we get it, man. We got a lot of good people, looking people in here. But, man, it doesn't just come from looking good and smiling good and being happy and wanting the best. It comes through faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're going to examine ourselves, and we're going to look at those things. Hey, where are we lacking? What are we supposedly believing God for? Is it for our kids? Is it for our job? Is it for a vehicle? Is it for a house? Is it for money? Is it a sickness in our body that the doctors have told us about? And we're going to find out, man, am I in faith or am I in worry? And if you can say, I'm in worry, we're going to find out how to get you out of worry and over into faith, because all worry is a dead-end road.
That's right.
Takes you nowhere. Wastes your time. Just get you, keep circling, spinning your wheels. That's not what we want. So right now, I want us all just to close our eyes real quick. Won't take long. And I want you to think of the things that are lacking in your life, the things that you're believing God for, the things that you know need to be changed. And I want you to thoroughly and honestly examine yourself and say, yep, I can see where I'm afraid. I'm not too certain. I'm worried that that's not going to change, or I'm worried that that's not going to happen. And if that's the answer, well, then let's fix it. But let's just get quiet and examine ourselves right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, and now we're going to have volunteers to come up and share where they're scared. Just kidding. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got to throw a little humor in there. Well, I trust you've thoroughly examined yourself. You know what you've been afraid. You know the things that have been tormenting your mind. You know the things that you wake up in the middle of the night and they're right in your face, the things that you've paced the floor, the things that have hindered you from sleeping, the things that have stressed you out. You know what they are, but we know now we have to get out of the place of worry or we won't have faith. Worry is a faith killer. So are you ready? Number one is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7. He says, casting all your care upon him. Do you see that there? Yes. Casting all your care upon him. Hallelujah. I'm going to a verse here. For he careth for you. Listen to what the Amplified says. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So the Bible tells us step number one is to get rid of the worry. Well, how do we get rid of the worry? We give it to him. Praise God. That's why I was saying in Philippians 4:19 in the beginning, when you know who your supply is, the job problems don't trip you up. The seemingly not enough money to do what you need does not trip you up. When you know that God is your supply and your healer, the doctor's report don't trip you up. Amen? Hallelujah. So he says, cast your care upon him. So number one, what you're going to do is you're going to take, let's just use an example. Say you need to pay for something. You have a lacking need in your life, and it's causing you, and it's looking bad, cause you to worry, or it's a sickness. You're going to say, Father, I am not capable on my own to do this. My shoulders are not big enough. You said for me to cast all my care upon you, for you care upon me. So, Father, I, for once and for all, give that to you, that thing. And you fill in the blank. Whatever you're worried about, Father, I give it to you. That's step number one. Cast it onto him. Get it off of you. Praise God. Oh, it feels so wonderful when you do. Amen? When you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that he can handle anything, that he has all the means to get you where you need to be. All he needs is for you to give him a little bit of faith to work through. Oh, it doesn't matter what you're facing financially. It doesn't matter what you're facing physically. In the natural realm, all those things that are raising their ugly head, does not matter when you understand who God is. Amen. He is still God. He's still the God that helped David defeat Goliath. The same God. He's still the same God that parted the Red Sea when the Egyptians were bearing down on him. Same God. He's still the same God that was with Daniel in the lion's den. He's still the same God that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He was still the same God that when Jesus looked like he was defeated, after 3 days, the power of God hit that place and Jesus rose from the dead. He's the same God who lives in you and endeavors to work for you. When you understand that, you'll say, I don't need this anymore. I give it to you, Lord. Hallelujah. You cast it onto him. So once you cast it onto him, number two is found in Matthew 14, 22. I enjoy preaching about things that have practical application for people that they can go home and put it to play, and put it to practice. I'm not up here to try to sound fancy. I'm not up here to try to, see, even right now I fumble over my words. See, to impress you with big words and some eloquent speech. What can we do to be victorious in life? Amen. What can we do to rule and reign as kings in this life? Well, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes, Matthew 14, 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, now remember the Bible said the boat was already tossed in the midst. It was already bad out in that water. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Now notice the first thing he says to them. Don't be afraid, guys. Don't be worried. We can't allow worry into this situation. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, verse 28, bid me or ask me to come onto the water. And Jesus said, come. He invited him to do something. He told Peter, this is my will for the situation. This is my feelings. This is what can take place in your situation. Come, right? Praise God. That's what he said. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus in the midst of the waves that were contrary, that were tossing the ship to and fro. Peter was walking on those, the Bible says. What in the world gave Peter the nerve to step out onto the water when an anybody else naturally, especially a professional fisherman, would know when you step out of the boat into the nasty waves, you're going to go down, down, down. What enabled Peter to not be worried, to not be anxious, but to step out? He had a word from God. The word was, come on, Peter. Come on out. That's my will for the situation. And you know what? Peter said, I don't care what the wind and the waves are saying. I don't care that what the weather channel's saying, what they would say about stepping outside of a boat, what they would say on, deadliest catch or whatever. You don't step out of the boat when it's like that. He says, I don't care. All I care about is God said I can. Amen. It's like you. When your finances, you don't have the money, it doesn't look like a way out, you don't have the healing, it looks like a mountain is in your way and there's no way to pass that mountain, it doesn't matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter that the natural says it's impossible, if you can find a word from God, it will defy the natural, it will defy the impossible, and that's what Jesus was saying, come on out, Peter, and Peter said, okay, the Lord said I could, that means I can, praise God. And when he has come out of the water, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous. Was the wind boisterous before he stepped out? Sure was. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. What happened? Worry. What do you think? Why do you think Peter was able to step out? Not just because Jesus said he could, but because Peter had faith in what Jesus said he could do. Peter believed the word. Peter said, my God, you said I can come. I'm going to come. My faith is big. But then Peter took his eyes, took his focus, took his thinking off of the word and put it on the circumstances. God says he'll meet and supply all your needs. But then you keep running the numbers and they're not there. You keep going over. You're digging through the sock drawer. No, you're not finding more money. You're going back through the checkbook over and over. There's got to be more money there. You're Googling online. This is what the doctors say I have. And they'd say, it's incurable. They say it's impossible. That's when worry starts to creep up and the shield of faith starts to go down, down, down. That's what happens. How did worry set in? When Peter took his eyes off the Word.
That's right. Amen.
So number two, what do? You get a word from God concerning what you're facing.
Sure.
You get a word from God concerning what you're facing.
Amen.
And you hold on to that thing. Right?
Amen.
Number three. Number one, cast it on Him. Number two, get a word. Number three is now, here's the thing. Just because you might be here tonight and you walk out of here in your vehicle, you'll be so excited that Pastor Mike got you all stirred up and excited that you don't have to worry, that you can be blessed, and you might in your vehicle say, Father, I cast that worry of that whatever fill in the blank onto you. Now, do you think that that's going to be the end of it? Do you think that the devil is going to just leave you alone? Oh, they've casted that thought. No, then the devil's going to operate in his realm, which is the thought realm, and he's going to come with you into your mind with attacks. He's going to point out, remember, you don't have enough. Remember, that is incurable. Remember, so-and-so died from that. Remember, you can't pay your bills. Remember, naturally, they're saying no way. And he's going to come with all those thoughts. He's going to come with all those thoughts. And one of two things is going to happen. You're going to buy into the natural. You're going to buy into those thoughts. Or you're going to answer those thoughts with the word you got in the first place. When the wind was boisterous, Peter should have said, I don't care what the wind says. All I know is Jesus told me to come, and he's not trying to kill me tonight.
That's right.
Amen. But he put his faith in the other things, got worried. Hallelujah. So number one, cast your cares on him. Number two, get a word and hold on to it. Number three, answer every single time. A day goes by and the money didn't show up. A week goes by, the symptoms are still in your body. And the thoughts are coming. That healing business doesn't work. That financial business doesn't work. You say, in the name of Jesus, I casted that thought. I would write it down. The moment you cast it down, I'd go back and say, on January 11th, by the way, yesterday was my spiritual birthday. Praise God.
Praise
Born
Lord.
Again. Hallelujah. I would say, I would cast it onto him, and I would write it down and say, no, 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 no. On January 11th, after Pastor Mike preached, I cast that onto God. That is no longer my problem, devil.
Right.
Stop talking to me about the money. I don't have to wonder where it's coming from. I don't have to wonder how the healing's coming. All I have to know is that it's able and my God's willing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me help you with something real quick before we get in these last two real fast. That's one of the biggest hindrances to people's faith because they can't figure out how it's going to happen. Do you think Moses, in his right mind, thought all of a sudden, the Bible says that the water was congealed, which if you study that out, when he split the sea, that water went up like frozen walls. Do you think in a million years, when God said, strike that rod on the water, Moses, that he thought that water was going to go zoop? Did you think he thought that in a million years? If anything in his mind, he must have thought, my God, Lord, don't you know what's coming? Don't you know what's happening? But he just said, I'm going to do what the Bible or what God has said in his word. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm just going to do it. Praise God. Go with me real quick to Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Praise God. He said, therefore I say unto you. Now find out your role here and find out God's role. He said, whatsoever things you desire. Number one, you have a desire. When you pray. Number two, you pray and bring it to God. He said, number three, believe that you receive them. God said, that's your job. Pray, have a desire, pray and believe you receive. And then number four, he said, and you or ye shall have them. Well, whose job is it to make it come to pass? It's his job. Not your job. When you release your faith for the money, he's not asking you to try to figure it out a million different ways. Just let him work. Amen? And that's one of the biggest hindrances because what's happening right now in your life that's bringing the worry, the natural's telling you there's no way. And you can't even figure out. You can go through solutions in your head and write things down and think things until your mind starts to hurt and you start to give yourself a headache and you might not ever be able to figure out. I mean, they've told you I'm not giving you more money. They've told you I'm not increasing your hours. They've told you, in fact, we're cutting it back. They told you it's impossible. They told you that medicine, that'll just help a little, but it won't cure it. And you can't think or wonder, or you're wondering how in the world. Stop wondering how and just put your faith in the one that can.
Amen.
He's the how business is him.
Yeah.
I don't have to wonder how he's going to move the mountain. I just have to have faith that he's going to move the mountain.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when the devil comes with that number three, answer the worst and thought with the word, you tell the devil with that money situation, that financial thing, devil, I casted that onto God. Because the devil will say, how's that going to happen? Where's that money going to come from? And you answer that. Keep yourself in faith. You answer that with the word. Remember what Jesus did when the devil talked to him? He answered him with the word of God. And you say, devil, on January 11th, 2017, I cast that onto God. It's not my problem anymore. Don't talk to me about it. Talk to him about it. And I don't care how he's going to do it. I just know that he's going to. Amen. That will keep you in faith. Praise God. I loved, I think I've done, pointed this out one time. When Smith Wigglesworth was being followed by a secretary into the house, and she came up to him with a stack of bills, and she said, Smith, we don't have enough money to pay these bills. And he grabbed those things out of her hand and threw them up in the air, and they went all over the sidewalk. And he said, why are you coming to me with those problems? Those bills aren't my problem. That's a man of faith right there. That's a man of faith. I like when Brother Hagin was starting the campus down in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and it looked like there was not going to be enough money to do it. Didn't look like the banks were going to give him the money to do that multi-million dollar facility that has trained and raised up people. And some minister came in and said, my God, this must keep you up late at night. This must cause you to worry. This must cause you to fret where the money's going to come from. He said, nope. He said, I don't have a care in the world. They said, how can you not have a care in the world? He said, this isn't my problem. It's God's problem. He told me to do it. He has to fund it. I'm not going to sit here and lose sleep wondering where it's going to come from. Not my job. Remember that, I just feel we're kind of camped here. Remember a few years ago in the game before the Super Bowl, one of the Green Bay Packers, all they had to do was catch an onside kick, which is a kick where the other team tries to kick it short to get the ball back really fast. And they kicked that ball, and the ball was coming down into one of the receiver's hands. All he had to do was catch it and fall to the ground. But the guy next to him, his job was not to grab the ball. They told him, whatever you do, wherever the ball is, don't grab it. Your job is to hit the guys in front to clear out a space for the guy next to you to catch it. But that guy had the ball right in front of his face. He jumped up to get the ball. What did he do? He didn't do his job. He fumbled that ball. The other team received the ball. One ended up winning the game and going to the Super Bowl. It was the Seahawks, I believe. Ended up going to the Super Bowl. Why? Didn't do his job. When Christians don't do their job and try to figure it out in their head how it's going to work, that's when problems come. Stop trying to figure it out. It's on him. Glory to God. I remember she came in one day with a bill. This was years ago. She said, this is a bill for, I believe it was $1,300. What are we going to do? And I said, we're going to act like the Bible's true. And I got down on my knees. I said, Father, and I was waving that thing in front of his face. I wanted to make sure to catch his attention. And I was waving. I said, Father, I received this, and I want to remind you that you said you'd meet all my needs according to your riches. I don't have the money to pay this. There's no extra money coming in that I know about. I'm not worried about, Father, this is your bill to pay. Amen. And praise God, the money came. Why? I gave God an avenue to get that money to me. It was the avenue of faith. So number one, cast your care on him. Number two, get a word and stay with that word. Number three, answer that thought with the word and don't think about how it's going to work. Number four is found in Romans 4 and verse 20. Are you receiving anything tonight? Amen. Praise God. Romans 4 and verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, Abraham wanted a child, didn't he? Don't you think every birthday that would go by would make you more anxious? Naturally, you see your wife, she's not getting any younger. It's not looking good naturally. He gets older and older and older. And the opportunity for worry and anxiety and fear are there that the promise of God's not going to come to pass. But it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But notice this, was strong in faith. One translation said, was strengthened in his faith. How? Giving glory to God. Now, this is number four, what you do. When you cast it onto him, when you get a word, when you answer, every time the devil comes with that thought, you answer him. Number four, enter into praise. You know what praise does? Praise puts your mind, praise puts your attention and your focus on Him. That's why we want people getting in one accord when we worship. Worship is not entertainment. Worship is not, I hope they play my favorite song. Worship is everybody in the church putting their mind on God. Why? When there's one accord, God can move. It's an opportunity to center people's focus on Him. That's what praise and worship will do. When you're in your home, after you've done this, you cast your cares, you wake up tomorrow, the money's still not there, the symptoms are still there. You say, Father, I thank you, the money's coming. I praise you for that money. I thank you for that healing. It's holding your attention on Him. The problem is we've become too us conscious and we're not God conscious enough. We've become mountain conscious, and God is the one that makes mountains. God can obliterate a mountain. We need to be so God conscious. When we become God conscious, we blow the mountain up by talking about it, by thinking about it, by going over and rehearsing in our minds, how are we going to do it? Where's it going to come from? How's this going to happen? And the mountain gets bigger and bigger. But if we would say, God, nothing's too hard for you. God, you're mighty. God, you're powerful. If you be for me, who can be against me? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you start to stir it up and praise Him for those things, it'll keep your attention, and the Bible says you'll be strengthened in your faith. Abraham went around not moaning and groaning about another year gone by. Oh, God, another wrinkle showed up, Sarah. Oh, Sarah, I did see that wrinkle on you. Better, I probably shouldn't say that to your wife, but that maybe he said that. I didn't see that wrinkle on you yesterday, Sarah. This isn't working out so well. No, he went day by day. Father, I thank you. You said I'll have a son. Father, I thank you. You said you'd meet all my needs, so you will. Father, I thank you. You said you're the healer, so you are. Praise God. That's what praise does. Praise magnifies Him and makes the mountain smaller. And last but not least, number 5. Once you cast it on Him, don't take it back. How do you take it back? Entering into worry and fear. He doesn't remember it, but he came to me one time. I think he was 2 or 3. I was sitting at a kitchen table, and he came to me with a toy that he kept doing something wrong to and messing up. And he needed me to fix it. Well, Dad was not fixing it in as fast of a manner that he wanted. And so while I'm working on it, he came and grabbed that thing unfixed and would run off to the playroom, and I would wait, and he would come back. And I started working on it again. I could fix it. You know, I can't fix very much, but some things I can. I was able to do this. It was just taking a little bit of time. And he got impatient and came back and grabbed it from me again and went in and played with the broke toy and was frustrated. Came back to me again, and I said to him, Buddy, if you'll leave it with me, I can fix it. But when you take it from me, that's where the problem is. Leave it with God, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take it back with worry and fear. That's like saying, God, I'm going to receive that back and put that. That's what happens when people start getting into worry. These other points will help keep you in a place of faith, will help keep you strong, because we don't want to enter in. We don't want to have cast it. You know, we're going on the road of faith, and then we get our minds in the wrong things, and we worry, and we say, oh, Lord, I'll take that back from you. When we take it off of His plate, He'll let us, by the way. He'll let you worry if you want to worry. He'll let you try to handle, just like Caleb. I told him, okay, buddy, you want to do that? Go ahead. I was trying to teach him a lesson, right? I said, listen, now you need to leave it with me. Well, finally, he left it with me, and Dad was able to fix it. Leave it with God. Get into praise. Be confessing the word, and watch God move. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, are you blessed tonight? Father, we love you so much. We glorify and magnify you. We honor you and praise your name. Jesus, you are wonderful. Oh, how we love you so much. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. We magnify you and praise you. We glorify you and praise you. We magnify you. Let's just everybody, eyes closed, so nobody looking around, let's just lift our hands to heaven. And let's praise Him. He's the one that's going to get the job done. Praise God. Stop worrying about how you're going to do it and start realizing He's your answer. He is the most wisest, the most prosperous, the most victorious one that has ever been. He's got ways. He's a way maker. Glory to God. We look to you, Father. We praise you. We magnify you. It might look dark, but you're a light. It might look hard, but you're well able, Father. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we magnify you and bless the mighty and the matchless name. You're for us, Father God. You're for us. We will not leave that shield of faith at home. We are going to tear the devil apart, my God. We're going to go out with the shield of faith and with the sword of the Spirit, and we're going to make ground on the devil, praise God. No more being pushed back into a corner. No longer living in poverty and lack. No longer living in sickness, defeat, and worry and anxiety. Nope, we're charging forward and taking ground for the kingdom. Hallelujah. We praise you, Master. And now if I could ask a favor, if everybody could bow their heads and close their eyes. I don't know everybody that's listening, and I mean in here and on live stream or in the future on the archive. But everybody that can hear my voice, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I know for sure it's heaven. You might say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, because I do what the Bible says. The Bible says you have to be qualified for heaven. It's not about being qualified by church attendance or by doing good things that outweigh your bad things. It's not about how much money you've given. He said, if you believe in Jesus, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. So number one qualification is you got to believe that Jesus was. The second thing that you need to do to shore up your salvation, to make it a reality that heaven awaits you, is to accept Jesus into your life. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus. The devil knows that Jesus is real, but the devil's not given him his life. The devil has not given him Jesus' place to be Lord. So that's the next thing, is to invite the Lord in. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, Pastor Mike. I don't know if I've ever accepted him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass you. We won't call you forward or have you stand up or say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior in this service, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Anybody at all that you've never done this. If you've had a bad week or a bad month and you already received Jesus, you don't have to get re-saved. Just ask him to forgive you. Just ask him, just repent and tell him you're sorry, and he'll just wipe it away. Anybody at all in this room want to receive Jesus before we close? Lift your hand high in the air. Father, I don't see any hands in here. So I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice in this building is born again. But if by chance somebody isn't, or if they're listening by live stream now or in the future, Father, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. Father, I pray that somebody would speak to them. Somebody would show them your goodness. And Father, I pray that they would receive you before they would pass away. Let's thank him right now for his goodness and his mercy. Father, we love you. We bless you.